River's Edge. I'm your host, Catfish Rivers, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and if you want, we can also check out the rest of the stuff we have on spiritplantsradio.com, like schedules, playlists, archives, and all sorts of stuff like that. Links to the DJ blogs, you name it. A lot of good stuff by a lot of good people. And I hope you will all have a chance to check it out and have a good time. Because you deserve a good time. Good people deserve good things. Give out love, you get love back. The law of attraction. Like calls to like. It's just like the saying, garbage in, garbage out. And if you act like a piece of garbage, well, you're going to get canned. It's really nothing to it. You don't need to think that hard. Karma's an easy thing to understand. It's kind of like a tune that you tune yourself with to the key of free. You live and let live. If you make a mistake, you own up to it. Don't do the crime if you can't pay the time. All these people taking heavy risks in the world, but they're not putting themselves on the line. It's you and me, the human shields, the fodder. Well, I'll tell you what, instant karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you right on the head. So you better get yourself together. Because pretty soon, you're gonna be dead. What in the world were you thinking of? Laughing in the face of love. What on earth are you trying to do? It's up to you. Yeah, you. Instant karma's gonna get you. Gonna look you right in the face. You better get yourself together, darling. Join the human race. How in the world you gonna see laughing at fools like me? Who on earth do you think you are? A superstar? Well, you're right. You are. Well, we all shine on like the moon and the stars and the sun. We all shine on. Everyone, come on. Instant karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you off your feet. You better recognize your brothers and everyone you meet.
I thought it you. with tooting on.
In a microphone, the listening unknown. I'll enjoy it if you.
Thank you. film, I see a man standing on the ledge. Do you think he really wants to live?
The answer, of course, is yes. We've talked about the ambivalence of the individual. We've talked about the fact that people, at the same time they're killing themselves, reach out for help. So that if we say no to this question, then we write off people unnecessarily. Further, that this whole situation and what has happened to this person raises the question which is really implicit in this presentation. Namely, does one have a right to interfere with this kind of process? Should you save a person who seems intent upon destroying himself? And our whole experience seems to point, without any question, all in one direction. And the question is whether or not one has this right. The answer is, one has this obligation.
I guess as a social worker, one of the things that would be bound to impress me most would be the thought of how people are really interrelated with each other. It's often been said that suicides can hardly ever take place if people are truly in communication with each other.
Suicide is but one facet of an interest in what seems to me to be a larger, more encompassing problem. We've touched on it earlier. It has to do with the meaning of death. Death in the very largest sense. For the citizen seeing this film as we've seen it asks himself the question, what can I do about this? Well, the one thing he can do is to break down the taboos that we've had up to now about talking about death, and to recognize that although death is an intensely personal matter, it has enormously ramified social implications.
How do you reckon it read? Red and blue and green, and whoo, all through my head. Licked a stamp, saw a move, it dropped a stamp. Whoo, I ain't got no blues no more, I said. Put me up thinking, postman's groovy. I ain't got the blues no more, I said. She walks flapping down this street where I live. Well, she slipping along easy like fried chicken. Yes, loose and greasy, easy. Oh, I ain't blue no more. I ain't blue no more, I say. She walk along crazy like, kind of crazy. Ooh, sort of lazy, sleazy, cheesy. You know what I mean? I see.
It is now 11:30 a.m. Moby Dick is pulling away from Building 9. Oh, fuck, I forgot my sunglasses. I have to buy some more underwear. Sorry. We are going out again in search of the American dream. We've yet to find it. We don't think it's at the district attorney's convention. Nothing's happening there. They're all a bunch of lily-livered liberals dodging all the significant issues of the day. They're spending millions and billions of dollars on rehabilitating persons that they would obviously like to kill. All they're doing is fecking them up for the kill. Eventual kill. We are here to see to it that it happens, to assist them in any way possible, to give them all information, moral courage, and drugs. Those fuckers can do it better if they were on drugs.
Good evening. This is Howard K. Smith. That voice belongs to a member of the Beat Generation, to a young man on the road to making a search for himself. This is a collective portrait painted in words by the subjects themselves. Like all portraits, the composite effect depends in large degree on the angle of vision of the artist. We attempt tonight to present you with a picture of the era in which we have lived since the end of the Second World War. A picture drawn by those in revolt against some of the aspects of the hidden revolution. For this is an impression of the Cool Rebellion, a study of the Beat Generation. We have spoken through this series of broadcasts of the changes that have occurred in American society since the turn of the century. We have probed the technological and social upheavals that have occurred throughout the Western world. Upheavals termed by some the hidden revolution. It is perhaps fitting that we examine some of the fruits of that revolution in terms of the battle for survival of the individual personality in a tragic century. We have chosen to look at our accomplishments through the eyes of some of the children of the age, for children are notoriously contemptuous of the shape of the world which their predecessors have passed. It is hoped that by looking at our world through the eyes of those who claim to reject it, we may come upon some important truths. It has been noted many times over that a prism through which light is reflected often provides a freshness of view, a kind of truth, just because of the oblique angles at which the rays hurl themselves through the glass, just because of the distortions they suffer in their passage into the reflector. Let us then use the Beat Generation as our prism. Let us examine the Cool Rebellion.
Everybody seems to think it's so important that you have to grab for money all the time, you know. Seems to be the main goal in everybody's life. And my parents don't seem to be any the happier for it. In fact, they're always arguing and they're always discontent, you know. They always want, more than they have. They have a nice home. It's not paid for. They have a car. They have furniture and all that, but all they don't enjoy anything. They just sit home night after night and they keep thinking about what a rut they're in, but they don't do anything to get out of it. And I'm going to see if I can't build myself kind of a life where I can really enjoy things, you know, and not be glued to one spot. I don't mean, you know, fly here and there, but be able to not be so stuck on material possessions, you know, so that I can't leave them and go someplace else.
That's the name of this town, sea level. We climbed straight up from here 10,000 feet. I took a fix and went to sleep in the back seat. She was a good driver, you can tell as soon as someone touches the wheel. Mexico City, where Lupita sits like an Aztec earth goddess, doling out her little papers of lousy shit. Selling is more of a habit than using, Lupita says. Non-using pushers have a contact habit, and that's one you can't kick. Agents get it, too. Take Bradley, the buyer, best narcotics agent in the industry. Anyone would make him for junk. I mean, he can walk up to a pusher and score direct. He is so anonymous, gray, and spectral, the pusher don't remember him afterwards. So he twists one after the other. Well, the buyer comes to look more and more like a junkie. Can't drink, can't get it up, his teeth fall out. He's all the time sucking on a candy bar, baby Ruth's, he digs special. It really disgusts you to see the buyer sucking on them candy bars so nasty, and cop says. The buyer takes on an ominous gray-green color. Fact is, his body is making its own junk or equivalent. The buyer has a steady connection. A man within, you might say, or so he thinks. I'll just sit in my room, he says. Fuck 'em all. Squares on both sides. I am the only complete man in the industry. But a yen comes on him like a great black wind through the bones. So the buyer hunts up a young junkie and gives him a paper to make it. All right, the boy says. So what you want to make? I just want to rub up against you and get fixed. Well, all right, but why can't you just get physical like a human? Later, the boy is sitting in a Waldorf with two colleagues dunking pound cake. Most distasteful thing I ever stand still for, he says. Some way, he make himself all soft like a blob of jelly and surround me so nasty. Then he gets wet all over like with green slime, so I guess he come to some kind of awful climax. I come near wigging with that green stuff all over me, and he stink like an old rotten cantaloupe. Well, still an easy score.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Here comes a far-out listener now, somebody who shouldn't really be listening to us by rights. And how's the reception? Because, as I say, you're miles out of our area.
Well, I can only get you in the kitchen.
Oh, so you have to sit there for 3 hours a day now, do you?
Really loud, so I can hear it all.
And it's all kind of like... Right.
Woo!
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah,
okay. Gosh, and fantastically yummy.
It is yummy, yes.
Isn't it just?
I do agree. It is the most yummy thing I've ever heard. And what is it? It's the River's Edge. With your DJ, Catfish Rivers, on Spirit Plants Radio. Turn on, tune in. SpiritPlantsRadio.com.
People like us.
Now back to the flow.
People like us.
We'll be right back. to tell you, as I said, I've been going through an evolution on this issue. I've always been adamant that gay and lesbian Americans should be treated fairly and equally. And that's why, in addition to everything we've done in this administration, rolling back Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that outstanding Americans can serve our country, whether it's no longer defending the Defense Against Marriage Act, which tried to federalize what has historically been state law. I've stood on the side of broader equality for the LGBT community. And I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient, that that was something that would give people hospital visitation rights and other elements that we take for granted. I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth. But I have to tell you that over the course of...
always love you. But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? If you should ever leave me, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Let us walk together, talk together, live together. Spirituality means to understand the spirit. To do this, we have to rise above all the differences. For there is only one spirit, and only in spirituality can we really come together. If you feel everybody is your brother or sister, you cannot narrow yourself. You become universal and understand how to love thy neighbor as thyself. Go happily, joyfully, peacefully, and share this knowledge, this spirit, this feeling with the entire world. Share it with all who come close to you, your family, your friends, neighbors, everybody. We are all part of that cosmic hum. We are all cells of the cosmic body. Let us feel that we are all the children of that one Father, or the one Creator. We are interdependent, the links in the same beginningless and endless chain, the cells of a huge universal body. Come together, live together, talk together, walk together. We are all one.
And use that at the atomic level. Give yourself
Hari Om rest. Tat Sat.
Allow yourself to release.
Shanti. Shanti.
Through the nose. Shanti. Through your mouth.
Thank you.
And into the spaces located just about an inch or an inch and a half below your metaphorical heart. About 2 inches behind who you were meant to be. Allow greater clarity, finer attunement, the ability to hear essence speak, to allow your brain to expand. Colon, you too work hard, giving yourself the Buddha belly with love and with the passage of food over many years. Realize for a moment that the average human being only uses about 5% of their brain. The other 95% is available for food.
The campy cult movie, Evil Dead 2. The protagonist's right hand
takes a mind of its own
and tries to kill him.
The
scene degenerates into
a rendition of what you might find on a sixth grade playground.
The hero uses his left hand to hold back his right hand, just trying to attack his face. Eventually, he cuts off the hand with a chainsaw and traps the still moving hand under
an upside down garbage can.
He stacks books on top of the can to pin it
down.
And the careful observer can see
that
the top book is
Hemingway's
Farewell to
Arm.
As preposterous as this plot line may seem, there is in fact a disorder called ill-in-hand syndrome.
While it's not as dramatic as the Evil Dead version,
it is roughly the same.
Alien hand
syndrome, which can result
from the split brain surgery we discussed a few days ago.
Two hands express conflicting desires.
The patient's
alien hand might
pick
up a cookie to put in his mouth, while the normally behaving hand grab it at the wrist to stop it. A struggle ensues.
Or one hand
will pick up a newspaper and the other will
slap
back out.
One hand
will zip up
a jacket
and the other will unzip. Some patients with
alien hand syndrome
have found that yelling stop
will
cause their hand here and the alien hand to back out. Besides
the
remote control, the hand is running its own inaccessible program. And
that's
why it has
alien.
Because the conscious part of the patient seems to have no predictive power over it.
It does
not feel as
though it's part of the patient's
personal
role. A patient in this situation
often says, I swear, I'm not doing this.
Which revisits
one of the main points of this book.
His own brain
is doing it, not anyone else's. He simply doesn't have conscious
access to this program.
So what does alien hand syndrome tell us?
I ask the fact
that we can't control alien
subroutines
to which we have no
access.
No agreements. Almost all of our actions, from using speech to picking up a mug of coffee, are run by subtleties, also known as zombie.
I use
these terms interchangeably. Zombie emphasizes the
lack of
conscious access,
while
alien emphasizes the foreignness of the program. Some
alien
subroutines are instinctual,
while
some are learned.
all of the highly automated algorithms that we saw in chapter 3 serving tennis balls, sexy chicks, become inaccessible
on the program
when they're burned out into the circuit. When a professional baseball player connects that
pitch
that's
traveling too
fast
for his
conscious mind
trapped is leveraging
well honed
and also tends
under normal circumstances
all the automated programs
are tightly controlled such that
only one behavioral output can happen
at a time. Alien Hand
highlights
the normally seamless way in which the brain keeps a lid on its internal conflicts. It requires only little structural damage to uncover what's happening.
In other words, keeping
the union of subsystems together
is
not something the brain
does without effort.
Instead, it's an active process.
It is only when factions
begin to secede
from the union
that the alienness of
the parts becomes obvious.
Every utterance I've heard before. And yet there were islands of meaning, moments of lucidity. As when he had spoken of not working, not remembering, not doing anything, which were surely real and heartbreaking, even though they lasted only a second or two before they were forgotten. And when he dies, I will miss him very much, but in some sense, he is already no longer here. He is not the same vibrant person I knew. It is a slow grieving all the way through. She fears, too, that with his impulsive, restless behavior, he will sooner or later have music and singing dominate his life. He sings with great energy and gusto. It obviously gives him pleasure. And between songs, he likes to invent little jingles, like the coffee song. When his mouth is occupied in eating, his fingers will find rhythms, improvise, tap. It is not just the feeling, the emotion of songs, which I am sure he gets despite his dementia, but musical patterns that excite and enchant him, and perhaps hold him together. When they play cards in the evening, Mrs. F. said, he loves to listen to music, taps his fingers or foot, or sings while he plans his next move. He likes country music or golden oldies. Musicality could emerge and come to take over a person's life, and who constantly whistled. He became known as the whistler at work, mastering a great range of classical and popular pieces and inventing and singing songs about his bird. Musical tastes, too, may be affected. Lifelong musical tastes changed, developed a passion for what he previously hated, and would listen to Italian pop music at full volume for many hours each day, who developed a consuming passion for polka music. At a much deeper level, a level beyond action, improvisation, and performance, what occurred, suddenly and spontaneously, to this man were not musical ideas, but musical patterns. And it was from these, by elaboration and permutation, that he built up his compositions. His mind was taken over during composition, and his compositions were of real quality, even when his loss of language and other cognitive skills became severe. Such creative concentration would not be possible to reflect on the musical patterns rushing through their heads. He developed a semantic aphasia, an inability to deal with representations and symbols, abstract concepts or categories. His creative mind, though, remained teeming with musical patterns and tunes, patterns and tunes which he could no longer notate or put on paper. Characterized by the relentless repetition of a single musical phrase dozens of times, waxing in loudness and orchestration, but with no development. There is the reiterative pattern and nothing else.
Oh, he was quite racy. Real estate queen. Europe and Niles. For pleasure. Stomp, stomp, absolute rays making noise. I can write about them, but I can't punctuate them. Then he said, comma, comma, comma. That skinny guy with black hair, aptly enraged. In India in the last year, he's getting even, ignoring all common publications, and getting Urdu nothing Sanskrit by Sir Yak Yak Yak, 40-page thing Norfolk. Let's all get drunk, I want to take pictures. Don't mess with Mrs. Lately and trust picture picky lisp. That's an artistic kit for sex. Trying to think of a rule in Sanskrit, Mama Sanskrit sounding, obviously twins coming in here. Meltdown, Equinel, Myopa, Pate, Watacha, Imana, Kawaya. You get sticky ring weekends. And wash the tub, bub. I'll be gentle like a lamb in the Bible. Beautiful color, your lipstick. Thanks, honey. Got a match, Max? Taxi crabs and murder cycles. Let's go to Trilling and ask him. I gotta wash my conduct. Don't worry about nothing. I love Allen Ginsberg. Let that be recorded in heaven's unchangeable heart. Either way, rapples. Call up so-and-so. Who's that? Sue Yi Lilia. Near claim the picture. Ang Bong the Bila. Wait, wait for something. The beast line. Then the ants will crawl over bee land. Ants in bands wailing neath my bloody owl pants. Owl pants. Tadabadi. You think I'm competitive in the long pleasant south of wishing all of you bleed, stay, meditation, everybody martini, destroy my black. Alan, you better voice the stare. This beer, these wee sandwiches. Where did you get these? Big greasy socialists. Are you gonna conk, Alan? Mind it tall in the saddle. Anybody got a ciggy boo? The moon is a piece of tea. Under the empty blue sky, vertebrate zoology.
And it's the vertebrates. Those of us who have a backbone that stand up in the face of evil. And smile back at her and say, it's okay. I love you. The wretched refuse, you can come to me. In my heart, you are home. For we are all one. Whether you like it or not, don't turn on your friends unless you're turning them on to some good music or share a joint. Because life's all about the karma, and you wouldn't want to mess that up and have to come back as a slug and have to start all over from the very bottom. You don't want to be a slug, so stand up, use that spine, and join the human race. You've been listening to The River's Edge on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world. At spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in. Visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.